There's been calls to bring back the Australian Commonwealth Employment Service, also known as the CES. The CES used to be the federal government's employment service. It was phased out by the Howard government in 1998, ushering in the new era of job agencies. I remember it well. I used it many times as a young unemployed person in the late 1980s and 1990s. I have memories of browsing the job boards at my local CES office, looking for casual jobs amongst the cards placed on boards. You'd take your ticket and bring it to the counter, and they'd sit you down for an interview. If the officer thought you were suitable, they'd phone the business right there and then, and often you'd be starting work the next day, sometimes that very day. But what happened to that system, and why are there calls by the public sector union to bring it back? Is it even a good idea to resurrect the beloved CES? To discuss this, I'm joined by Dr. David O'Halloran, occupational therapist and lecturer in work and labour market theory at Monash. Good morning, David. How are you going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So what was the CES? Can you give us a bit of a history lesson on the CES?
Sure. Okay. So up until 1945, different governments around the country had state labour market agencies. In 1945, after the first government's white paper on employment, the Commonwealth government thought it would be a good idea to start the Commonwealth Employment Service, or the CES as we know, and that operated from 1945 until 1998, when it closed down. And as you said in the introduction, many people have very fond memories of the CES, and it did work very well. It was a good system, but 2023 is a very different time to 1945, or in fact 1998. The labour market's changed a lot, and some of the things that made the CES a really good thing don't exist now.
What are some of those things?
Okay, so one of the things that we don't talk about very much with why the CES was a good operation was that each individual CES had a local management team that was fairly empowered to make local decisions about the local labour market. Now, we know the labour market operates very differently across the country. So what works well in Perth is very different to the labour market in, say, Cairns or in Hobart or in Western Sydney, for example. The labour market's different, and that requires a local solution. And one of the strengths of the old CES was that local officers could respond to the needs of local labour market. While each CES office looked very similar, they actually operated quite differently. And so one of the problems in 2023, where we have a much more controlling public service culture, is the thought of having very empowered local officers would not sit well in the current culture of the Commonwealth Public Service. One of the things in the article that I didn't make perhaps clear enough was that I'm not actually advocating continuing the same system. The current system is clearly broken. When we have workforce shortages around the country, employers can't find workers, and yet we still have an unemployment rate of about 4%, although that's probably significantly undercooked. That tells us that the current labour market program that we've got, which is called Workforce Australia, is not working.
There is no system, is there, as there was with the CES?
Yes, there is a system.
There is.
So the system we have now is called Workforce Australia. That started in August last year. This is about the fifth iteration of federally funded employment services since the breakup of the CES.
And is that the same kind of thing? Is that so? I'm clearly not job boards, but it's similar,
no.
Is it?
Yes and no. So an employment program has three main functions. So the first function, and what you were talking about before, is what's called a labour exchange function. That is where we match workers with employers. So employers have a need, workers have a need. You put the two together and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
That works really well for people who are what we call frictionally unemployed. So that's people who are reasonably well connected to the labour market, have the skills to get back into the labour market fairly easily, and for various reasons, they're not actually in a job, but they can go back in and out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that labour exchange function works well. Now, these days, with the internet, most of that labour exchange is done, or most of the formal labour exchange is done through things like Seek or Indeed or so forth. So the boards that, you know, you had in the old CES, that now exists on Seek or Indeed or LinkedIn or the various platforms. So we don't need to go back to that system because the internet's happened in the meantime. That also ignores the fact that, in fact, most people around the world get jobs through personal or a loose network of contacts. That's not going to change.
Is that still a thing? Is that we actually do? That's where most jobs come from, absolutely. Our mates and family.
And about 80%. It depends on which study you look at. And it doesn't change from place to place around the world. But most people either get a job formally or informally through contacts. That's not going to change, and that was always the case in the past. Things that are advertised, if you like, in the formal labour market, so things that are now on Seek or Indeed, they're not that. It's not the majority of the labour market. Most people still get a job through contacts. But that's one element of a labour market service. The second important element of a labour market service, and this is kind of where the problem is for people who are what we call structurally unemployed. So they're people who are in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong skills. So their unemployment is not, if you like, by choice. You are not going to get someone like that into a job by simply matching them with an employer or, for example, asking them to apply for 20 jobs a month. If you don't have the right skills in the right place at the right time, you can apply for 100 jobs. It's not going to make any difference.
I see. So an example of that would be if somebody just doesn't have the skills for a certain job or the right training, or they're
certainly
not in the
doesn't
right
have space. The skills or in fact, doesn't have the physical ability. We know for a fact that at least 30% of people who are on unemployment payments are, in fact, the people who have a disability.
Yeah.
But because we've changed the requirements for disability pension, more and more people are actually on unemployment payments, which are much cheaper than people who are on DSP or disability support pension. So people are structurally unemployed for all sorts of reasons. And the second element of a labour market program is to help those people become the right people in the right place with the right skills at the right time. So that looks like things like training programs and so forth. Governments aren't brilliant at doing that, but no one is particularly brilliant at doing that. One of the problems with our current system is that we don't do this very well at all. The CES, in fairness, didn't do that particularly well either, but they did it better than we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, the third element, I said there were three, is what's called the job test. Now, in Australia, we call that mutual obligation. That is something that says, in receipt of government payments, you need to do something that proves that you are genuine, in inverted commas, looking for work.
Yep.
And therein lies our problem, because the system at the moment is so heavily focused on the job test, or mutual obligations as we call it, that it's actually become more of a kind of Centrelink program rather than a genuine labour market program, which is focusing on employers and employees. We know, for example, that most employers won't go anywhere near Workforce Australia because it's of no use to them. Doesn't send the right people, doesn't send the right skills. We know, I think the last study I saw showed that less than 4% of Australian employers are using Workforce Australia. Whereas when we had the old CES, it was something like 50 to 60% of all jobs in Australia were advertised in the CES. So, you know, it's not just a system that's failing the unemployed, it's also failing employers big time.
So because it's connected to this concept of mutual obligation is one of the reasons?
Absolutely. And this is the main reason why I think we don't want to have the Commonwealth back in employment services. I'm actually advocating for the state
Well, that's the thing.
The public providing employment services.
Okay, so the public sector union, the CPSU, has launched a campaign to put an end to outsourced government employment services with the creation of a modern CES, basically. So you're saying that that's not really going to work, and in your article you sort of go into the concept of states might be better. Could you explain a bit more about that?
I absolutely agree with the CPSU that employment services need to be in public hands. Couldn't disagree with them at all on that. It's just the level of government that I think is where we're going in the wrong direction. And that is because the Commonwealth is fundamentally focused on benefit payment. We know, for example, that if you are unemployed and not on benefits, then you don't get any services from employment services at all. The old CES didn't care whether you were on benefit or not. If you went into the CES, they didn't check whether you were on unemployment payments or not. They connected you to a job. Now, we know, for example, there's a couple of states, Victoria and Tasmania, that have realised that the current system is completely useless to their needs and have started some state-funded employment services. So there's Jobs Victoria and I think it's called Jobs Tasmania as well.
Okay, how are they going?
Original names. Look, they're going okay. The problem is they're both chronically underfunded. Oh. Like they're both running on, you know, the memory of a smell of an oily rag. And so, you know, they're not doing that well in terms of being able to do what they could do. But their big advantage is that they don't care whether someone is on New Start payment or not receiving payments. Their focus is actually on providing a labour market program.
Okay, so if what you're suggesting here is that if the Commonwealth government put more into state funding, a Commonwealth service, or do we even need it? Does it even need to be federally based?
No, okay. I mean, ironically, most countries around the world provide labour market services either at the local or municipal level or at the state level. Australia is unusual in that we have our publicly funded employment services at a national level.
Yeah, you mentioned Switzerland.
Unusual for a country this size.
You mentioned Switzerland in your article.
Sure. So, if, for example, in Switzerland, they operate at what they call the canton level, which is kind of like their equivalent of states.
Right.
And so what happens in different cantons depends on what happens in that local labour market. So the labour market in Zurich is very different to the labour market in Geneva. And so the programs that they're offering in those different cantons reflects that program. And there's no obsession with it necessarily being consistent. I mean, it looks the same, basically, like the CES looked the same. But when you break down the actual practice in at a local level, there are quite significant differences, and the old CES was certainly like that.
Yeah, like you said at the start, the local management would know what's going in the local community, and that could and that helps at better outcomes.
Yes, I mean, I remember when I first started in this business, which is 40 years ago, the local CES manager would know who the good employers were in town, and they would certainly know who the dodgy employers were in town.
Yeah, right.
That kind of knowledge has been lost in the system.